Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Always excited to have our buddy Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic stopping by the sports bar. Great piece right now at The Athletic on the relationship between Sabres owner Terry Pegula and GM Kevin Adams. Matthew, I want to start right there because we hear the term meddlesome owner, and usually you hear an owner say, we're going to hire good people and get out of their way, let them do their jobs. And boy, it almost feels like Pegula, because he hired a guy with as little experience as Adams has, had to insert himself into that meddlesome owner kind of role, and probably to the detriment of this team. Thanks for joining us, bud.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, guys. Yeah, it's been an interesting ride for the Sabres, and a lot of it does trace back to this relationship between Terry Pegula and Kevin Adams, because there's not a lot of general managers in this league that get 5 years of missing the playoffs and still get a sixth season. There's not a lot of general managers who are in the position that Adams is in with this type of flexibility and this type of control. And a lot of it traces back to, frankly, you know, a relationship that they built years prior to Adams being general manager. I think it's safe to say that Adams doesn't get this job in any other market, at least not in 2020. And he doesn't keep this job as long as he has in any other market. But that's, you know, what's happened so far under Terry Pegula's ownership. And it's, I think, a big reason why this drought has gone from 9 to 14 seasons.
Yeah, your piece at The Athletic, Matthew, it's about Kevin Adams and how he got to this position, how, you know, there were corners that were cut, certainly, but it's also about Terry Pegula and going back to the day where he gets, you know, he's there with his black suit and the navy tie and making those proclamations, and he, out of the gate, he's spending money. It's going to be hockey heaven. It's going to be everything. And so how did we get to this point from, you know, money, no problem. You know, we have the resources to, okay, we've got to be efficient and lean, or whatever the, you know, the slogan they threw out there. What changed with Terry Pegula, in your opinion?
I think it's a con to it. Probably number one being the pandemic, right? You know, like you are sitting in a spot where business changed, and business changed pretty drastically for them. And so that, I think, accelerated Kevin Adams' rise to general manager. I think he would even acknowledge that had the pandemic not happened when it did, he wouldn't have become general manager when he did. But you have to go back even before that. And in a lot of people that I talked to, a theme that came up was that there was definitely an inflection point when he bought the Bills. And that might not even be entirely financial as much as it was the fact that your attention can only be split so many ways, right? And a few people, you know, I spoke to, one I believe that's quoted in the story, saying that, you know, everything Bills was always more important than everything Sabres, and everything for the Sabres has been a bit helter-skelter since he bought the Bills. It's a pretty commonly held opinion in those offices. And I think actions back that up. You know, this team has not spent to the salary cap in 5 years. That's related to the pandemic, but I think you can also trace it to other business complications that come from owning two NFL teams. There's also the fact that when they hire, you know, Pete Coeli's in this role as dueling COO, he's a football guy. He has a background. Yes, he worked in the NBA, but he also worked for a long time before this for the New York Giants. And since Ted Black got fired, every president or COO that has had sort of the dueling capabilities has been somebody in football. You know, somebody that has a background in football. Ron Rakuya, Russ Brandon, John Roth came from the banking world before that, but Bruce Popko. You know, these high-up executives, it's been Terry Pegula kind of on an island in some ways as far as experience with the NHL. And so as far as how they went from being this cash cow of an organization to what they are now, I think the Bills have a lot to do with it, and the pandemic has a lot to do with it. I mean, when it was his only team, and Terry Pegula is a hockey guy and he was a Sabres fan, he was throwing money at it. The other thing about it, too, is that didn't work, right? Christian Ehrhoff, Billy Leno, that didn't work. He couldn't buy a winner, and there was a point even when he tried to throw a bunch of money at Parise and Suter, and that didn't work because they wanted to go home to Minnesota, and it was, I think, a point of frustration of like, hey, why can't I just write checks and make this work? And that's where, you know, you get into the tank and trying to go about it that way by racing to the bottom and acquiring, you know, talent through very high picks. And then everything, it feels like they've tried to take shortcuts. You know, it's, you have the tank and then you make all these aggressive trades to try to win right away with Jack Eichel. And then before you know it, Tim Murray's fired after 3 years. Yeah. Jack Eichel's the captain probably before he should have been the captain. And that's why, you know, Kevin Adams is only responsible for 5 years of the drought, technically, but there's a through line from Kevin Adams to where they are now because he's been in the organization the entire time. He has been, you know, save for when he got fired after Lindy Ruff got fired, Terry Pegula brings him back in and begins grooming him for a position high in the organization. So while he hasn't been making roster decisions for 14 years, there's a pattern to how Terry Pegula operates that you can start to see if you trace this relationship.
You know, I wonder, Matt, you talk to a lot of people with the organization or that were with the organization, and I want to stick on the culture concerns between the Sabres and the Bills because I don't think that that's a zero. I do think that absolutely weighs heavily on the team. If you're the Sabres and you see the Bills moving into their new palace and you see the Bills getting all the attention that they get, you can't help but feel like a second-class citizen. And I'm wondering if anybody that you talked to for this story had a suggestion as to what the Sabres can do to kind of rebuild their own identity, short of course, winning more hockey games.
I think it's really kind of the big thing is winning will fix a lot of problems. But I think there's an investment to an extent that needs to happen from Terry Pegula, be it spending to the cap, or you're starting to see it now, filling out the front office. You know, there was definitely bloat in the Jason Botterill front office. Like, they got too bloated in terms of their scouting staff. And there was a need, as Kevin Adams put it, to right size things. But of course they went drastically in the other direction. I think your actions speak a lot louder than your words when you're an owner, particularly Terry Pegula, who doesn't speak publicly. Mm. You know, he's at Sabres games, he's around a little bit more, but he's not around as much as he used to be. And certainly being an NFL owner is a lot more glamorous than being an NHL owner. It's a lot more profitable, certainly, for in Pegula's case, but it's a cash cow. It's easier. And he's got a pretty stable operation there, right? He has
he hired a good coach. He hired a good general manager, and together those guys got him a quarterback. So they're sitting pretty, and it's easy for them to get a lot more attention. So how do you fix that? I think you back it up with some of your money, your presence, hiring out some staff, and there's ways you can show you're serious about winning that are bare minimum that they just haven't done. And I think one of them is probably the fact that Kevin Adams is still in his job as general manager, the fact that they haven't spent to the salary cap. Like, those are two big things, especially in a flat cap league the way the NHL was for a handful of those years that they didn't spend. That's pretty simple stuff. I mean, you talk about the idea of it potentially rubbing off on the culture, right? The idea that they recognize that the Bills are more important, you know, maybe even from a player level. I think about Bills night at the arena was real hokey. You know, this is an NHL team. They're playing the shout song after the Sabres score their goals. Like, they are an NHL team. You know, I think it's one thing at, you know, the minor league levels to have these different promotions to get people in the door and things like that. But it's like, this is an NHL team, like a real NHL team that should be serious, that should be one of the best markets in the NHL, shouldn't need things like that, that they have their own goal song, right? Like, they, I don't know, that felt a little bit odd to me this year. And a little bit, again, we're talking about, I wonder about Pete Gowelly as a COO splitting duties, right? That's hard to do. It happens in some other sports where there's some shared duties like that. But again, a guy who had no experience in the NHL, I don't think it's even possible for him to have had his head wrapped around the challenge he was facing with this fan base. You know, I wrote a story earlier this year about the attendance problems and the disillusionment from a big chunk of the fan base. And I think little stuff like that is part of it, where you have, how about a president of the team that has worked in the NHL before, that has an understanding of how to, you know, cultivate a fan base and appreciate a fan base and build out a staff that can build a winner. Because again, when you come back down to it, winning is the best way to make this a hockey town again. And I know it, you know, from hearing from people that were here 20 years ago, you know, there were times when the Sabres were bigger than the Bills. It's almost impossible to imagine now, but you know, there were times where this team was that big a deal around here, and it seems like forever ago.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic invites you to check out his piece there. And Matthew, on our show here, we're cynics. We'll admit that. And the Sabres made a move like, oh, that's interesting. This is a guy that has some cachet in this league, Jarmo Kekalainen. And they announced it on a Friday afternoon. It almost felt like the Friday afternoon news dump. Like, they didn't want this to be out there. Do they not want it to be out there because, well, it doesn't look good for the current GM? I mean, I guess I'll ask you the question this way. If Kevin Adams, is his job safe if the Sabres get out of the gate slowly? Is Kekalainen the actual GM in waiting here?
I think it's certainly possible. I think you'd be naive to think that's not a possibility, because so what's interesting, and part of why I feel like, you know, the timing of the story I wrote plays into this, is that a lot of people have wondered over the last few years when Adam's job security seemed a little shaky. They thought, well, he's so close with Terry, maybe he'll become president of hockey ops or president, some sort of promotion, and they'll backfill some other way, right? Whether it was Jason Karmanos or Jerry Fortin. And I always thought the idea was crazy because, A, does Kevin Adams really deserve a promotion? But, B, why would anybody believe it would be any different with somebody like Jerry Fortin or Jason Karmanos, who Karmanos has a bit of experience but still would not be my first choice as like a GM in waiting. Fortin definitely lacking, I think, a bit of experience for the role. It just didn't make sense to me. Now with Kekalainen here, I can see it, because you have a guy that you could plug right in tomorrow if you had to. And frankly, a lot of people, I would probably throw myself in this camp, would say maybe you'd be better off. And frankly, what's interesting too is, you know, going through, you know, really digging into the weeds of Kevin Adams' experience, I think you could make a case he would be more qualified to be in more of an oversight president type of role because of the work he did on the business side. It's the roster decision-making that has been above his head, it seems like, at times. So I think Kekalainen, there's a couple things. Like, there's no way he didn't look at this and think there's some opportunity there in two ways, right? If you win, and you win in Buffalo, that looks really good, you know, on your resume, that you finally helped them get to the end of the drought. And let's face it, if they make the playoffs this year, Kekalainen will probably get more credit than a senior advisor has ever gotten in the history of hockey. Like, nobody wants to give Kevin Adams any credit, so they'll turn right to this new guy and say, this is the guy that helped steer the ship. But even if it doesn't go well, you know, you're right there as a potential replacement, at least on an interim basis. So I think if it goes well, there's a chance Kevin Adams could bump upstairs and say, okay, I'm getting out of this GM business where people are all over my case and I have to talk all the time, and it's just more of a headache than it's worth. And I'll take on, you know, the higher up job where I can, you know, fade into the background a little bit and let Yarmo do things. Or if it doesn't go well, sort of the same thing could potentially happen, because looking at the history between Pegula and Adams, it's hard to envision him completely cutting Adams out of the picture entirely. So you would think he'd be reassigned in some fashion, but I think there, Kekalainen being as young as he is relatively in this senior advisor role and so fresh out of the GM seat, this is a guy that still wants to be a GM. So I think he's looking for ways that'll get him back there as quick as possible. And maybe that doesn't happen in Buffalo, but certainly if they win, he gets a nice feather in his cap to, you know, for the next GM interview cycle next year.
Was this a hire by Kevin Adams? Was this a hire by Pete Gwelly? I mean, I only bring it up because I you know, as the news was breaking last week, I saw Pete Gwelly post about the hire and with enthusiasm. And I couldn't help but think to myself, if Kekalainen is a Gwelly guy, or Gwelly was the guy that had to sign off on this hire, you know, there's a lot of people within the Sabres organization that Gwelly didn't have any alignment with. And it gives me, you know, brings me to my bigger question is, what is this organizational alignment? We know the relationship between Pegula and Adams, partially thanks to your story, but what about the rest of this organization when you talk about Gwelly being a part of this and not having any NHL experience, and now Kekalainen being this wild card in the mix who could step into a larger role if things go south quickly?
I think Adams definitely had a hand in this hire. So, you know, it's in the story that they went down this road before in terms of interviewing for senior advisors when Kevin Adams first took the job. And Kevin Adams in part nixed it, you know, didn't find the right fit was sort of how he described it to me when we sat down to talk. But, you know, from the version of the story I heard was that it just wasn't something that he was super open to. He said at the time that he, even if they had found somebody, there probably wasn't somebody out there that had gone through what they were about to go through. I think referring to the Jack Eichel saga and the different organizational drama they had to endure in his first season on the job, some of which was his own doing. So this time around, I think it was more of a Terry Pegula, Kevin Adams. I don't have too much suspicion that Pete Coeli is overly involved in these types of things. Frankly, I don't think he has the chops from a hockey standpoint to be making these types of calls.
Yeah.
He seems to be more in an observer role. You know, he came down for the trade deadline, but I would have a hard time envisioning him stepping in that type of way. This seems like more of a, he will report to Adams. So it seems like somebody that Adams had to be comfortable with. But the real question is, you know, what percentage of it was Pegula, right? Because if Pegula gets comfortable with Kekalainen, that's the wild card. I view Goeli as less interesting in that equation than Pegula, because we see what trust means to Pegula and what, you know, finding somebody new that he can trust. I take it back to the Bills in 2017. Doug Whaley and Terry Pegula were quite close. They weren't quite Kevin Adams and Terry Pegula, but they were quite close. You know, spent a lot of time. You know, that's the dynamic that's interesting in sports. The coach is down in the arena, right, on the sideline, on the bench in hockey's case. The front office guy gets to sit upstairs with the owner, and you just get to have more conversations. You get to build more of a personal relationship. Pegula was very close with Whaley, and it was emotional for him to fire Whaley. But why did he do it? Because Sean McDermott came in and won Terry Pegula over in a lot of ways. You know, Pegula was really smitten with him in the hiring process, and then he sees him come in, and his influence grew as Pegula saw his credibility firsthand. Could that happen with Kekalainen? Absolutely it could, like 100%. Terry Pegula is in these meetings that Kekalainen will be in for free agency, for the draft, when they're talking about how to shape the roster and make trades. And Kekalainen is not a small personality. I don't envision him being a guy that's going to be fading into the background. I envision him being a guy that will be vocal. And he's charismatic. He's a guy that a lot of people in hockey have a high opinion of. So is this a guy that could win Terry Pegula over and that changes the dynamic of things? I think that's certainly possible, especially if they – we may not know every time, you know, every move they make. We may not know who to credit 100%, right? That's going to get a little bit murky here. But Terry Pegula is going to know, right? If there's a meeting and there's a big debate and Kekalainen wins out and they make a move and it works out, those are the little things that will start to add up to – more credibility, I think, and more trust. And that's the big thing with Terry Pegula. It's a big reason why when people bring up the idea of McDermott getting fired or Bean being on the hot seat, it's like, no, you don't get how comfortable Terry Pegula is with those guys. If he's this comfortable with Kevin Adams, how comfortable must he be with McDermott and Bean, who are winning nonstop, although they haven't reached the ultimate prize. So I'll be fascinated to see how this plays out. It's certainly... it makes for an interesting summer, and this team is, although very much down on its luck the last 14 years, sort of an endless supply of fascinating stories.
Yeah, Matthew, last one for me, and it goes back to our last conversation, last time we had on. I think, you know, with, you know, your article now talking about how, you know, with this ownership, it's Bills first and the Sabres second, and if you need an example of that, there's this multi-billion dollar building going up in Orchard Park as compared to the Buffalo Sabres, where who is actually running this arena? The county walking away, the city says we can't pay for it. Where does this leave the Sabres? Your article earlier in the spring, you reached out to Bill Daly. He says we value Buffalo as a market, which, oh boy, like, if he's got to put out a statement just to reinforce that. So where do we leave off? Is there any concern about the Sabres and the arena in the future?
I don't have like imminent concern about that. It's on my radar generally as sort of, once again, I think you'd be somewhat naive to not have that on your radar given how bad the franchise has been. But I think what I think about is there's been a lot of expansion talk in the NHL recently, and they get that big fat expansion fee when they do that. So financially for the league, expansion makes more sense than moving Buffalo does. I think sell the team comes up a lot, right? Like they'll never win with Terry Pegula until he sells the team. That's not really the solution because I don't know that there's a buyer out there that would want to keep them in Buffalo. But this is not quite a situation like the league had in Arizona, and they clung to Arizona for a long time. So while I would say, you know, it's certainly not completely off the table at some point in the future. And again, and the other piece of it too, of course, is that Terry Pegula is not going to live forever. And so, you know, how do his kids feel about owning and running an NHL team? Laura has been more involved recently, but that becomes, you know, a question for hopefully, you know, way down the road. But it's certainly something that anytime you're, you know, essentially one of the smallest markets in the NHL and you've had some of the worst attendance, had the worst on-ice results, then you have some, you know, arena stuff starting to come up. That's going to be a question, but as long as expansion is like this, you know, thing that the league is infatuated with, that's a good thing for the Sabres because it's more lucrative for them to expand. And they'd rather that Buffalo just get it right. Like the problems in Buffalo are probably as simple as win and things will be fixed in a lot of ways. And it wasn't that simple in Arizona. So I think there's not reason to be panicking about that, but it's certainly, it's always one of those things that has to be on the back of your mind in such a small market.
Finals get underway tomorrow night. Matthew, who do you like?
I picked Edmonton. It's kind of a toss-up for me. I think I keep waiting for the Panthers to wear down, and it doesn't seem like it's happening. But I have a feeling that Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl can elevate a bit more than a year ago. Look, they were so close last season to finishing off that comeback. I think they've got, you know, a few more pieces this year that maybe help them. Injury to Zach Hyman doesn't help. It's a real toss-up. I see it going seven games, and I've got the Oilers, but you might be able to tell I'm not super confident about it.
Terry Pegula's ownership, Kevin Adams' rise in the hamster wheel of Sabres record playoff drought. Matthew, it's always fun to kind of catch up with you, and you know, maybe we'll looking forward to doing this again here at some point before next season.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
You got it. There he is, Matthew Fairburn, The Athletic. You could check out his work there and this piece on Pegula and Adams. If you're somebody that believes that Adams needs to be looking for work at this time, that he's shown you everything that you need to see, yeah, Terry Pegula may be loyal to a fault. And I also get the impression somewhat meddlesome for an NHL owner, a little bit more so than the average NHL owner.
Well, this is the good way out, right? And when they brought in Kekalainen, I'm thinking, all right, do we push Adams over to the business side? Will we be opposed to that, or do you just want Adams gone altogether?
I don't think he'll be gone altogether. I don't think he'll do that to his friend. I think he will move his friend to somewhere within the organization. I don't know that a promotion makes sense because I think we all see through that. And what has he done to deserve that promotion? I agree with Fairburn's take on that. But certainly within the organization, pushing him out of the spotlight and letting a guy like Kekalainen, if things go poorly, then yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Otherwise, yeah, if things go well, the best case scenario, and they break the drought and they make it to the postseason, yeah, Kekalainen's probably not around much longer because he wants to be a GM in the NHL, and getting Buffalo out of the drought as a senior advisor, you could do a lot worse if you wanted to hire that guy to be your next GM.
Wow. Like Matthew laid it out, that's the perfect spot to be in. It's like a consultant. Okay, wow, the Sabres broke the drought. He's going to get a lot of credit, and maybe that vaults him to another job. Oh, my gosh, they messed up. Well, you know what, let me take over here. Kekalainen's like, he's in a good spot here for Buffalo.
For sure. All right, we're going to get to happy hour next. The Knicks fired Thibodeau.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Bill's back on the practice field. Media got to see the practice today. We'll share some of our observations and what we learned from talking to Matt Parrino earlier today. No Josh Allen on the practice field. No surprise with that. We've got happy hour and time for your calls next at 866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.